If he's been good to you, give him some praise. If he's blessed you this morning, give him some praise. Oh, I shouldn't have to sit up here and beg you to praise him, because he allowed you to go to bed last night and see a day which was not promised to you. Give him some praise. God's been good maybe, to me. Maybe you just don't quite understand. Nothing said that you had to wake up in your right mind, but you woke up in your right mind. Nothing said that you had to breathe on your own, but you woke up this morning breathing on your own. Give him some praise.
God's been good to me. 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 Good. Yes, he has.
I know he has.
Been good to me.
I know he's
God's
good.
God's been good to me.
Every day.
God's been good to me.
He's walking by my side.
God's been good to me.
He'll never leave
God's
me.
God's been good to me.
He won't forsake
God's
me.
God's been good to me.
He will keep
God's
you.
God's been good to me.
When you're going through the storm.
God's been good to me.
He'll be with
God's
you.
Been good to me.
In a midnight
God's
hour.
God's been good to me.
I know the Lord.
God's been good to me.
I know the Lord. God,
come on, sing that next part. Been good.
Been good. Been good, been good, the Lord's been good. Been good, been good, been good, the Lord's been good.
Yeah,
been good, been good,
I know.
Been good, the Lord's been good.
Yeah,
been good,
yeah,
been good,
whatever.
Been good, the Lord's been good. Good to me, good to me, the Lord. Lord has been good to me.
Ooh, he's been good.
Good to me.
Mighty, mighty good.
Good to me.
Oh, the Lord has been good.
No. There it is. No, for a second, for a quick second we could.
How's this?
There.
Okay, all right. It's kind of fickle today. Amen, but it's been a day. Amen? Amen. Y'all pray for Pastor today. I can tell you even from this morning that I was telling my wife, I feel like somebody's got their hand on my head. Mm. And she looked at me like, boy, you done lost your mind. I said, no, for real, I feel like somebody's got their hand on my head. And I kept brushing my head. I kept brushing my head. And then even when we get, and we have this thing that whenever we are on our way to church, we will pray as we're on the road. And I said, well, pray that whoever's hand is on my head, that it be the Lord's.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And so we, amen. My wife will testify to it. And so, I mean, I'm like, well, I just don't know. And, you know, all the while you ride and you're going, well, I hope it ain't like an aneurysm or something, you know. But we made our way here. God is good. And then when we got here, you know, we were met by a situation. And God will give you what you need when you need it.
Yes.
Amen. Y'all don't realize how close I came to being Mr. Evans as opposed to Pastor Evans.
Uh-oh.
You want to deal with Pastor Evans. You don't want to deal with Mr. Evans. And so my wife saw a little bit of Mr. Evans coming out. She said, well, you need to go and you know, get yourself right. And so I did. I went to my office. I stormed to my office. And matter of fact, y'all probably glad that I did, because I know some of y'all in the Bible study class saw me grabbing stuff and tossing stuff. That was Mr. Evans. But Mr. Evans had to go upstairs and get under the hand of the Lord. And get some instruction from on high. And having received that instruction, I came down. We took care of the business. But, you know, the Lord just put it on my mind. There were some things that he had impressed upon my heart well over a year ago. And it just falls in line with our message this morning. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. Chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. The first epistle of St. John, chapter 1. Now, if you can't find it, it's on page 335 in my Bible. 335 on my Bible. Yeah, it's three. Well, if you can't find it, then that means you need to be in Bible study or Sunday school. Amen? Amen. Both. All right. The man said both. When you have it, say amen. And I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. Those of you who have your Bibles with you, no matter what platform you have it on, wave them in the air. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Shame on you. You can't tell the players without a program. Amen? Amen. All right, and it reads on this wise, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so just for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk about the truth is. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for all the things that we have experienced this day. We pray, Father God, that your hand would continue to be upon me, that it would decrease me but increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would accomplish those things that you have purposed them to do, some to be exhorted, some to be encouraged, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Oh, Lord, we ask that this day that you would take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. We pray that this day, Father God, that you would not allow us to leave this place the same way that we came in. But Lord, that you would allow us to leave with a greater fire, a greater desire, a greater wanton will to do your will. Now, Father God, these and all other things, we ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The truth is, and the truth is this, is that in much of the preaching that we hear today is geared towards making the gospel applicable to all the problems that we face in life. And there's really nothing wrong with making the gospel applicable to the things that you face in this life. You know, we should know how to deal with angry people in your life. We ought to know how to deal with when life swallows you whole. We ought to know, you know, what we should tithe on. Should we tithe on the gross, or should we tithe on the net? But, you know, it's kind of like that person who goes to the doctor, and you know that you have a cancer. And so you go to the doctor, and the doctor discovers that you have a hearing problem, and you've got wax in your ear. And so he goes through, and he's a good doctor, and he gets all the wax out of your ear, but he never addresses your cancer. So you got good hearing, but you still going to die from the cancer. The gospel is the same way. The purpose of the gospel, the main purpose of the gospel, the reason why Jesus comes and lives on the earth, why he goes through what he goes through on Calvary, the reason why he dies and is placed in a borrowed tomb is not to get the wax out of your ears, but to save your immortal soul. The writer here, he states in verse 8, that in verse 8 he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There are two lies here that we tell ourselves. The first lie that we tell is a lie that we tell ourselves. And the lie that we tell ourselves is that what? We have no sin. We tell ourselves, and many of us, I won't say any of y'all here because y'all been saved all your days, all your life, right? And y'all ain't never done nothing wrong. You ain't never lied. You ain't never stole. You ain't never cheated. You ain't never done nothing that you ain't supposed to do, right? Because you've been good all your life. But the Bible says is that you sin in word, in thought, and in deed. There's, matter of fact, even if you were good, Matter of fact, you're just simply the fact that you were born makes you a sinner. Your mama was a sinner. Your daddy was a sinner. Their daddy was a sinner, and their mama was a sinner. Matter of fact, we can go back as far as you like, back to Adam and to Eve. And the fact of the matter is that Adam was a sinner and Eve was a sinner. Just by your very birth, you are a sinner, even if you don't act like a sinner. But the fact of the matter is, and many of us are old enough and seasoned enough in life to realize that we haven't done everything right. But yet and still, we'll tell ourselves that, well, you know, God knows. Yeah, God knows. And so do you. But we choose to tell ourselves the lie. I'm a good person. No, you not. Just like the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus and he calls Jesus good, and Jesus kind of takes him to task, but he doesn't really take him to task. But he says, there's none good but the Father. In other words, there's none who have sinned except there's no one who has not sinned but me. For I and the Father are one. There's none other than Jesus who has not sinned. We bounce around the word good like we deserve to be called good. But the fact of the matter is that there's nothing good in you. And whatever good you have is because you've believed in your heart and you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have been made saved. And Jesus has imputed his righteousness unto you, which means you didn't get it on your own. Somebody had to give it to you. You can't work on being good. You can work on, look, he challenges us all the time. He tells us to what? Be ye holy, for I am holy. But the fact of the matter is, and you're deceiving yourself if you think that you ain't never sinned. There's a lie that we tell ourselves, and then there's a lie that we tell others. And the lie that we tell others is in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, you know, like you know, like you know, you know. Ain't nothing good in you. You're about as nasty can be. Oh, wretched soul am I. This is from Paul, who was a Pharisee among Pharisees. His daddy was a Pharisee. His granddaddy was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee that sat under Gamaliel, who was the teacher of that day. He was like, pick one of them big names, Oral Roberts. If you was gonna go to Oral Roberts because you know you somebody, that's where you go. He was there, and he had the right lineage. He had the right education. He knew all the right people. He sat in the right places, knew all the right things to say. But at the end of the day, he turns around, and he realizes, oh, wretched man that I am. There is none that's going to be able to save you from yourself except Jesus Christ. And so, John makes it plain here. He tells us that the truth is that you're going to have to confess. If we confess our sins. Now, if is a little word. It's only got two letters in it, but it carries a big meaning, doesn't it? Because if is the segue to either one way or the other, one path or the other. If makes a determination as to whether you going to do good or you going to do bad. If you going to go the right way or you going to go the wrong way. If sits right there in the middle. And if means that there's a one way to go as opposed to another way. He says that if we confess. Now, you know, confessions are a lot like apologies. They have a lot of the same aspects. However, while all good apologies are confessions, not all confessions are apologies. In this particular case, Paul is letting us know that you need to make a confession, a good confession, that is an apology. At the end of the day, you know what you know about you. You know that there's nothing good in you. You know that even now, as you're thinking, you say, Pastor, all the stuff that's coming out your mouth, I know what you did this morning. I know what you was thinking about. But notice, Pastor ain't never said that Pastor was good. Ain't nothing good about me. I'm just merely a herald. I am merely the butler who comes and serves you the food of the word of life. There's nothing about me that makes me special other than the fact that I talk real loud and sometimes I tell you a good story. The truth is that you must confess. And John lets us know here that apology is required. And a confession means that, number one, you knew that what you did was wrong. And if you knew what you did was wrong, you know, it's just like when we was growing up. I don't even want to talk about what you do now. But it's just like when you was growing up, that when your people caught you, they told you what, not to play with the ball in the house. But you played with the ball in the house, and then the vase broke. And then they say, and then you tried to like turn it or tried to paste it together. You went and got some of that Elmer's glue, or you got some of that paste that you used to have in school, and you was trying to paste it and glue it together, and it wouldn't work. So then you decided that you was just going to move it and maybe hide it. Right? And so then when your mama came home and she was looking for the vase and she turned to you, because you're the only child at this point, right? So she turned and looked at you and said, what happened to my vase? If provides you with a direction, you can say one thing or you can say another. You can tell her a lie. Or you could tell her the truth. God is with us, does us the same way. You know, we messed up in a lot of ways. We've dropped the ball. We have fumbled the ball. We have rumbled, stumbled, and bumbled through good portions of our life. And then finally, one day, when the word of God moves upon your heart, and the Bible says that if you confess, if you make that apology. Now, the thing about a confession is, number one, it's a choice. That's the reason why we have the word if, right? A confession is a choice. Number one, it's a personal choice. You have to decide that you are going to make the confession. I can't make it for you, and nobody can force you. For a confession to be a valid confession, it must be a personal choice, but then it requires an audible action. That means it got to come out your mouth. That means at some point you're going to have to, maybe you stand up, maybe you sit down, maybe you hang your head, but it's got to come out your mouth. That's the reason why at the end of every service, we go through this every time I preach, and I will go through it every time I preach until I ain't preaching no more. That we'll stand up and we'll make the announcement that what? I am a sinner. It's got to be voluntary. It's got to be audible. It's got to be where people can hear you. But then not only that, a confession is an act of your individual will. God ain't going to override you. God ain't going to twist your arm and make you confess. As much as he wants to save you, as much as he has sent his son to die for you, to do it all for you. Man, that's like somebody doing your homework for you and allowing you to take credit for it. Wow. I mean, I can't make it no more simpler than that. But in this case, it wasn't homework. It was a debt you owed. You know good and well you should have died. You knew that you should die in your sins. You know it just like I know it. But God sends Jesus, who takes your sin upon himself. He didn't do anything to deserve it other than the fact that he loves us. He loves us so much that even when we were ignorant, And ignorant just simply means that you just didn't know. But then some of us was just stupid. I mean, I can't put it any other way. Ignorance is that you didn't know no better, but some of us was stupid. You knew it was wrong, and you did it anyway. But he dies for you anyway. He dies a death that we should have died so that we might make a confession that only we can make. Nobody can confess for you. Confession acknowledges the fact that you did something that was wrong, and it's got to come out of your mouth. Father God, you are acknowledging the party that was injured. I am a sinner. That means you are now accepting the responsibility for your actions. I need to be saved, which means that you are making yourself accountable. A confession is a testimony to your commitment that you share the same values as the rest of the Christian community. Your confession must be sincere. But not only must it be sincere, but then once you've given your sincere apology, your sincere confession, God will forgive. The rest of the verse says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. True forgiveness is like a true confession. It cannot be coerced. You can't make somebody forgive you. Amen. No matter what it is that you've done, and you've realized that you've done wrong, and you go back to the party, here is that same example that I gave you with the broken vase. You decided to confess. And you say, Mama, I'm sorry. I broke your vase. I played ball in the house. Now, I know this never happens in real life, right? Because you ain't going to tell all of it. You know, for some of us, we like to tell partial truths. You know, we like to, no, confession requires that you tell all the truth. You know, we want to say, I gave you most of it. So can I get all the forgiveness? God says, give me all of it. Give me all of it and all of its dirt and all of its nastiness and all of it. And I will be faithful, which means that every time, all the time, every time, he will forgive you if you give him all of it. He can't fix what you won't face. If you don't give it to him, he can't fix it. It's like your car done broke down, but you say, you know what, I'm going to take this tire off because if something terrible happened, I'm going to at least have my tire. Now, I don't know who think like this, but it just works for this story. So you take your car to the dealer, and the dealer say, okay, I can immediately see what's wrong with your car. You don't have a tire. You say, no, I have the tire, but there's something wrong with the battery. So what is the man at the dealership going to do with you? He said, well, come back when you get the other tire. Isn't God the same way with us? He can't fix it unless you bring the tire, the battery, the key to start the ignition. He can't fix it unless he has all of it. And he ain't going to try until he has all of it. He's going to be faithful. But once he has it all, the Bible says he is what? Faithful and just. To do what? Forgive us of our sins. Plural. Not just one of your sins. Not just a few of them. But all. That is what is implied here by what John is writing. God forgives all of our sins. There's not anything that is not covered under all. all includes everything. There's nothing that is not included. You sitting here thinking, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but God knows. And because God knows, you ain't ever got to ask me to forgive you. You need to ask God to forgive you. I don't have a heaven to send you to or a hell to consign you to. I'm not there with you in the middle of the night when all the things that you have done come to visit you as you rest and slumber. I'm not there with you as you're sitting there and the seeds that you have sown in your past have now grown up and the weeds of sin are now flourishing in your life. You know, it's a funny thing about weeds. They grow fast. They might start out looking like grass, but then when they come up and they produce the things that they produce, it ain't grass. Sin is the same way. It might start out looking good. You might start out thinking that you got away with it, that it's okay. But as it begins to germinate and grow, all of a sudden, the sins that you have sown are now flourishing in your life. And you're trying to figure out, where did this come from and how did this happen? You sowed it way back in the day. You're just simply reaping what you sowed. He says he's able and just to forgive us of our sins. You know, you realize that whatever we do, it doesn't occur in a vacuum. There's always an action, always reaps an opposite reaction. That's just nature. That's just life in general. If you do good stuff, good things will happen for you. Amen. If you study and you, guess what? You get good grades. That's just the opposite. That's the reaction of good grades. But if you don't study, if you just hang out, what kind of grades you gonna get? And then you're going to blame the teacher. A teacher friend of mine said, students earn the grades they get. Students earn the grades they get. If you put in the work, you get the good grade. You fail to put in the work, you're going to get a fail. And truth be told, most of us have been failing all our little lives. Amen. You ain't been good all your life. I don't even know you, but I know you ain't been good all your life. Don't know where you've been, but I know you ain't been good all your life. Why? Because every soul must be saved. So I know that if every soul must be saved, then there ain't no good souls. There ain't no good in you. Because he requires that every tongue confess that we are sinners and we must be saved. As a result of the work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary, there is an altruistic redemption. All that means is that the Holy Spirit will come into your heart. He will seal you. That basically means is that just like anything else, you know, it's called the proof of purchase. You ever go to the store and you remember back in the day when y'all would go and get, yeah, all of y'all old enough to remember this. You'd go to the store and you go get the cereal with the 33 on the back. Don't act like you don't know what a 33 is, a record. Oh, my goodness. Don't act like, oh, we ain't got those now. We got MP3 players. But back in the day, look, let me help you so you act like you ain't got amnesia or something. Back in the day when there were records that were 33s and 45s, some of those, oh, okay, now you remember. Oh, man, okay, 78. But they never had a 78 on the back of them. That was just too big. But they would be like 33s, and they'd be on the back of the cereal box, and you would go buy the cereal box, and after you got the cereal box, you know, if you got the what is called the proof of purchase and you sent it in, there was another prize that you could get. Your receipt, when you go buy stuff, that's your proof of purchase. Your proof of purchase as a blood-bought believer is the Holy Spirit. There ain't no 33 on the back of you, 45 or 78. But the Spirit of God resides within you because you've been purchased with his blood. And because he's purchased you, the proof of his purchase is the Holy Spirit that rests, rules, and resides within you. And because he resides within you, there's a reconciliation. The Bible says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's an apologetic confession. There is a forgiveness. And then there's a reconciliation. And when he cleanses us from all of our sins. Why does he cleanse us? Well, God can't be in the presence of sin. And because he loves you so much, he wants to be in your presence. He wants you to be in his presence. You know what? Can I liken this to when you first met that woman, when you first met that man? You wanted to be next to that good soul, and so what did you do? Well, I know if it was me, and when I met Ms. Evans, I made sure that I smelled good. Amen. I took a bath. I used soap and water. I don't know what y'all bathe with. Soap and water. I made sure that, at the time I had hair, I made sure that my hair was brushed, my teeth were clean. The few, all seven that I have, I made sure that I had proper manners, and I introduced myself to her parents at one point because I wanted them to know that I was interested in their daughter. Come to find out that they were more impressed with me than she was. She's shaking her head. She'll tell you. I'll tell you the story, and I'm going to keep moving. There was a time I'm over at her house, and her mama had cooked some greens. And so if y'all know Pastor, and you probably don't really know me that well, I like greens. I'm not eating everybody's greens. I'm just telling you now. And I like beans. I like greens and beans. But I'm not eating everybody's greens and beans because don't everybody cook them the same way. Anyway, but I'm over at her mama's house, and she had some greens. And so I'm eating the greens, and you know, Gina wasn't there. And so all of a sudden, I'm sitting there eating, and it's me and her mama and her daddy was in there somewhere. And she said, "What you doing here?" I said, "I'm eating greens." "Why are you here eating my mama's greens?" "Because she cooked them, and she said I could have some." God the Father does us the same way with Jesus. We hanging out with Jesus, and God the Father says, "What he doing here?" "It's all right, Dad. This is my friend." Reconciliation. We need to be reconciled with God. There was a break between us and God. We kind of fell out. Well, not kind of. We fell out. We fell out way back in the day. And some of us have had relations where we fell out way back in the day, and we still falling out. And the fact of the matter is that we need to reconcile. If God took the time to reconcile with us, God bankrupts heaven so that he might have a relationship with us. Because even though he knows how raggedy we are, he knows how sinful we can be, he knows that oftentimes that Stanley Evans don't always act like Pastor Evans, but sometimes he acts like Mr. Evans, but even still, he loves me anyway. I can't talk about you, but I can talk about me. I know what I have done, and I haven't always been good. I know what I have been done, and I haven't always done right, but God loves me so much that he sent his only begotten son. I'm a quote the songwriter, and I'm going to be done. And there's a songwriter, and the songwriter says this: "For the world is hungry for the living bread. Come on and lift the Savior up for all men to see. Trust in the Lord. Do not doubt his word. He said he would draw all men. He said he would draw all men. He said that he would draw all men unto me." One more, and this is the chorus. How to reach the masses? Men of every birth. for an answer. Jesus gave the key. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. The truth is that Jesus has died and rose again. He simply looks for an apology. He looks for the opportunity to forgive you so that way that we might be reconciled unto God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We've reached that portion of the service where the word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that he has purposed them to do. Some to be exhorted, some to be encouraged, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. If you would, stand with me and repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart.